As Thanksgiving turns 400, Indigenous resistance is rising. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Wampanoag, Massachusetts, Nipmuc, Mohegan, Pequot, Narragansett, Passamaquoddy, Mi'kmaq. These are just some of the Indigenous nations of the land now called New England, the home of that original Thanksgiving dinner that occurred 400 years ago in the fall of 1621. The myth of that shared meal has evolved over the centuries, depicting friendship and cooperation between the English settlers in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and the Wampanoag people, who'd been there for at least 10,000 years. While that gathering was peaceful, it was at best a token respite from the European settler colonist genocide against Native peoples that was already well underway. While families gather across the country for this year's Thanksgiving celebration, frontline Indigenous communities that have survived centuries of violence, displacement, and systemic racism remain in resistance, defending land, water, and their very existence. Those 100 or so early settlers, popularly referred to as pilgrims, arrived on Wampanoag territory in 1620. After the first winter, racked by disease and hunger, their number had dwindled to 54. Indigenous people came to their aid, teaching them how to cultivate local crops. By harvest time, the settlers managed to store enough food to survive the coming winter, so they organized a celebratory feast. The Wampanoag people had just suffered a multi-year plague that had decimated Native populations across the region, and historians believe sought a strategic partnership with the settlers. English King James I was encouraging colonization and even touted the benefits of the deadly contagion, calling it a wonderful plague in a 1620 proclamation, leading to, quote, the utter destruction, devastation, and depopulation of that whole territory, he said. That was the era that the late historian Bernard Bailyn, who died last year at the age of 97, described as the barbarous years, as the so-called pilgrims mounted increasingly savage massacres and military campaigns against those natives whose land they wanted. Later, leaders would couch the ongoing genocide in more diplomatic language with colonial initiatives like Manifest Destiny and the 1934 Indian Reorganization Act that cemented the modern system of impoverished and neglected reservations. The Declaration of Independence lists among its grievances against King George III his encouragement of attacks against the colonists by, quote, merciless Indian savages, unquote. From 1777 through 1868, the United States signed at least 368 treaties with Native nations and violated every one. Canada's track record is comparable. Indigenous people have never stopped demanding that these treaties and their national sovereignty be honored. In the fall of 1969, a group of Native American activists occupied the abandoned federal prison on Alcatraz Island in San Francisco Bay, issuing a sarcastic manifesto demanding Alcatraz become a reservation, as it bore all the hallmarks of one. It was isolated, had no running water, sanitation, access to education, health care, or employment, and its occupants would be treated like prisoners. The 19-month occupation involved thousands of people and inspired Indigenous people across North America to demand justice. The American Indian Movement was founded, leading to the 1973 activist occupation of Wounded Knee on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, galvanizing international solidarity for Indigenous rights. In 2016, Indigenous resistance catapulted into global headlines as Lakota and Dakota people opposing construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline established resistance camps at Standing Rock. After DAPL's owner, Energy Transfer Partners, sicked dogs and beat Native water defenders, the camp swelled to over 10,000 people with over 200 Indigenous nations and tribes represented. The pipeline was eventually built, but a new era of Native resistance had emerged. Now pipelines are being constructed to move the world's dirtiest fossil fuel, tar sands petroleum, in Western Canada. Indigenous-led resistance to Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline in northern Minnesota has been waged for years now. Anishinaabe leader Winona LaDuke has been on the front lines there. She criticized President Joe Biden's inaction on Line 3 and commented on the Democracy Now! NewsHour on Biden's appointment of the first Native American cabinet member in history, Interior Secretary Deb Haaland.
Joe, if you appoint Indian people, don't just make them pretty Indian people that sit in your administration. Let them do their job. Indigenous thinking is what we need in the colonial administration. That's when change happens.
In British Columbia, Canada, the Wet'suwet'en sovereign nation has been resisting the multi-billion dollar Coastal GasLink pipeline being constructed by TC Energy. Just this week, Canadian federal police raided a multi-month blockade, smashing into a cabin with an axe and a chainsaw and arresting the land defenders inside. Police then burned the cabin to the ground. This myth of that abundant shared meal 400 years ago continues to mask misery, from poverty and substance abuse to the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women. But Native communities are resilient and organized and rising up in resistance. For this, we should all give thanks. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.